got here.
We left off last week in the middle of the topic of using the secular dates. So last week, as we said last week, it was in Yonah the Yoma, so we discussed the secular year and whether one is allowed to use the secular year. This week, I mean, I thought we were going to get to last week, but I'm usually wrong about those things. This week I wanted to talk about the month and the issues that present themselves with using the month. But additionally, there is another question that comes up that is very much connected. Because, as we mentioned last week, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that you're not allowed to swear with the name of an idol, with the name of an Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, well, Yishama al Picha, that since the Pasuk in the Torah says that you're not allowed to, the name of an Avodah Zarah, of an idol, should not be heard through your, on your mouth. And we understood that, and the Gemara explains that means also you can't cause it to be heard, which means that you can't even have some, force somebody or cause somebody to take a vow with the name of an idol. So the Gemara says that not only do we learn that you're not allowed to vow from, take a vow from this pasuk in the name of an Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says you can't even say, wait for me by the Avodah Zarah, the corner of the Avodah Zarah plumi. Right? You can't use it as a landmark. You can't say, meet me by the place of worship of that Avodah Zarah. Right? That was forbidden. Because that's using the Avodah Zarah, that's saying the name of an Avodah Zarah, and in a sense using it. So the question is, what about towns and cities that are named after an Avodah Zarah? Or streets that are named after an Avodah Zarah? I mean, I'm sure we can think of a lot of them. Any name that starts with saint is somehow connected to their Avodah Zarah. You can distinguish and say there's a distinction between the actual idol as opposed to a saint, right? For example, St. Louis, right? Or St. Paul, there's a yeshiva in St. Paul. So, you know, you can make the distinction and say, well, that's a saint. So, while it's connected to Avodah Zarah, it's not actually Avodah Zarah, as opposed to a place like Mumbai, which is named after an Avodah Zarah. Right. Only one of us here has been to Mumbai, I assume. Right?
Well, I mean, I guess you are allowed to use the names of the cities because you're saying.
Never been? That. You haven't.
I guess you're allowed to use the names of the cities because you're saying that.
Right here. Well, for learning purposes, so you may be able to say things that you otherwise shouldn't be able to say. But I hear the assumption. It's a fair assumption to make. But the question really is, I mean, the answer is that it seems that the general minhag of the world is to say these things. Right? You don't find too many people who don't say these places and these things. And the question that we need to answer is why. Right? It seems like they should be forbidden. I mean, the simple reading of that Gemara, one line of the Gemara, that the Pasuk says that you shouldn't, lo yishama al picha, you shouldn't say the name of an Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, you shouldn't say the name of an Avodah Zarah to use it in such a simple way as using it as a landmark, which is in no way worshipping the idol, yet just simply saying, meet me by the corner of Avodah Zarah A and Avodah Zarah B, and that would be forbidden. So certainly, or I would imagine, that saying the city, a name of a city that's named after an Avodah Zarah would be worse. Because when you use the name, if you have a city that's named after an Avodah Zarah, in a sense, it's giving kavod, it's giving honor to the Avodah Zarah. Because why else would you name a city after an Avodah Zarah if not because the Avodah Zarah is a significant Avodah Zarah, a significant idol, a god? If it's not a power, if it's meaningless, then you don't name a city after it. If it's meaningful, so then something to name a city after. So in a sense, it seems that should be a problem as well. So let's see, as we learn about the months of the year, we will also be able to answer the question about the cities and the streets and, they say...
Does that have to do with something that it, at the time when they named it, it had to do connected to the Avodah Zarah, and then, you know, years and years and years later, people have nothing city is not related whatsoever to that of Azara.
Okay. Okay, that's the thought. That's the thought. And the same would be true about the months of the year. Meaning, it's just,
right.
Even if originally that was named after an idol, so should that matter? So did we see anything last week we were talking about, we spoke about the Gemara a little bit in depth, so did we see anything last week that said anything about, the only thing that's similar to that we had last week was the opinion who said that any Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah, you're allowed to say. Yeah, that's what Tosa said, the Gemara says. Any Avodah Zarah, because the Torah mentions certain Avodah Zarah, so if it says an Avodah Zarah in the Torah, obviously you're allowed to say it. The question is why? Why are you allowed to say in Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah? Yes.
Well, what's the reason behind why you're not allowed to say it?
This is a good question. I mean, the simple answer is because the Pasuk says in the Torah.
Right, what's
so what's the reason for the Pasuk of the Torah? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that we should not have any mention of the Avodah Zarah is one step closer to bring, to connecting us to the Avodah Zarah. And since mentioning the Avodah Zarah will make us, he even extends this prohibition to even thinking about the Avodah Zarah. Right?
Don't
because
think about it.
What?
Well, if you say someone, don't think about it, they're going to think about it.
I understand, but as we said last week, there was the opinion of the Maharam Shik, and that was the whole reason why they were against using the secular calendar and the secular years, because when you say the secular year, you're going to say, well, what are we counting? 2014 years since what? And you'll start thinking about from what? So based on the Sefer HaChinuch, we extend the prohibition to even thinking about the Avodah Zarah. I think I have it here somewhere in this folder. But he says that even thinking about the Avodah Zarah will bring a person closer to worshipping the Avodah Zarah or giving credence to the Avodah Zarah, showing that it is something that deserves respect by thinking about it, talking about it, mentioning it, and therefore he felt that it was prohibited. That's how he understood the prohibition. He says, "Laharchi kol inyan Avodah Zarah ben b'masa ben b'dibur." That we should remove and distance ourselves from all connections, all doings with Avodah Zarah, both in action and in speech. Ad shelo yale zichra bilvavenu la'olam, until we don't think about it at all in our day. Right. So, in a sense, the rabbis, like we talked about last week a little bit, in a sense, this is like generally we have rabbinic gedarim, right? Midrabanan, you have a law in the Torah, and then the rabbis, a lot of the rabbinic laws are you shouldn't do this because you may come to the prohibition of the Torah. And it's, as we know, they're gedarim, they're fences around the prohibitions of the Torah. In a sense, in the way that the Sefer HaChinuch explains this mitzvah, it's almost like we're saying the Torah itself created a barrier, built a fence around the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. Why? For obvious reasons, because the prohibition of Avodah Zarah is one of the most significant and fundamental prohibitions in our Torah, that if there's any mitzvah or aveira that deserves some level of protection around, that you shouldn't even step close to the edge, it would be Avodah Zarah. So the Torah already gives us markers to say, don't get too close to Avodah Zarah. How do you stay away from it? You don't mention it, you don't talk about it, you don't think about it. All those, which is lo yishama al picha, you shouldn't cause it even to be mentioned. You shouldn't mention it, and you shouldn't cause it to be mentioned. So that's the way the Sefer HaChinuch explains that prohibition. That it's like a gedder around the Isser of Avodah Zarah.
You have a whole Masechta on it.
There's a whole Masechta on it, sure. And then for what?
Mentioning it.
Shouldn't mention it a lot. It's true. Well, we have to learn the flaws. There are certain things that we're not allowed to talk or learn about, but when, like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about how you can't have pictures of moons and of the all the celestial beings, I guess you could say, all the things in the sky, he says, but Rabbi Gamliel, I think it was, had pictures on his wall of the moons and the different phases. And the Gemara said, how could it be that he had pictures? And we'll talk about that when we continue with our shiurim. But the Gemara says, because it was to learn from and to teach from. So he was allowed to have these pictures on his wall. so that when the witnesses would come to the Beis Din and they would say, how did you see the moon? They would point, did it look like this? Did it look like this? Did it look like this? And this was an educational tool. So in a sense, you're allowed to do it for certain things. You're allowed to do it to learn things for educational purposes. But we'll have to learn and to know what they're talking about. But the Masechet Avodah Zarah is not so much about actual Avodah Zarah. I mean, it is, but not about how to worship Avodah Zarah. It's more about, you know, the topic in general. Yeah.
So when, in the original example that you gave, which was, I will meet you by the corner of some Avodah Zarah and other Avodah Zarah, you're literally talking about an Avodah Zarah itself.
Right.
But when you're referring to a street name, or when you're referring to a city name or a place, it's even one level detached from that, because you're not talking about the Avodah Zarah itself. So I think from a thought perspective, right, you were talking about thought before, you're actually not necessarily thinking about the Avodah Zarah itself. You may not even know that it is the name of an Avodah Zarah. You're actually referring to the location or the month, right?
Right. So I hear. I think it's a very interesting idea that you can make the distinction that I think Mark, you said something like that before, that yeah, you can make that distinction, or you would think to make that distinction between, or you know, take it one step further, where it's, you know, the difference between a saint as opposed to the Avodah Zarah itself, right? Or can you distinguish between Mumbai and St. Louis, right? Or St. Nicholas Street, which is right near where I teach, or as opposed to, you know, a place where it's actually the Avodah Zarah. And then, again, the same question. Would you draw a distinction? The Gemara says, meet me bitzad avodos kochavim plonis. Meaning, actually, it says, meet me next to that idol. Right?
Like by the church on Myrna?
So that's the question. That was exactly what I was going to say. Is there a difference between saying, meet me by the house of worship? Right? The church itself is not an Avodah Zarah. Right, we talked about that. When we were talking about is the cross on the outside of the church. Is that considered to be an actual item of Avodah Zarah that you can't even look at? So we said that while it's a good idea not to look at these things, again, for the same reason that we're discussing why you can't talk about them, it's not prohibited to look at as an act like an actual idol, because nobody worships the cross on the outside of the church. Right, as opposed to, you know, where people might worship and bow down to the cross on the inside of the church, they don't bow down to the one on the outside of the church. So the church building itself, while it's a place of Avodah Zarah potentially, it's not actually an idol. Nobody worships the building, the church. It houses Avodah Zarah. So can you make that distinction as well? The Gemara gives a very specific case where it says, don't say, meet me by that Avodah Zarah, by the idol over there, right? By the whatever idols we've had, in the sun god idol, right? As opposed to meet me by at the corner of the church. Is that different? So it's a good question.
I
didn't see this distinction made in any of the literature that I saw. But I need to do some more research about it. I think it's a very good distinction to make. I think it's reasonable. Now, again, you'd have to re-explain the prohibition, right? If we go with the line of thinking that the prohibition is not only to think of, to talk about Avodah Zarah, but it's to think about Avodah Zarah to the degree that there are those who say that you can't say the year 2014 because it will make you think, what are we counting 2014 years from what? And you'll think, oh, from the birth of you-know-who, so therefore I just violated the Isser of thinking about Avodah Zarah or causing somebody else to think about Avodah Zarah. Now, not everybody agrees with that because they don't think that in this prohibition is the extension to think about Avodah Zarah. The Gemara doesn't say anything about thinking. The Gemara says, talking about. Lo yishama alpicha. Alpicha, that sounds like you can't say it. So you can't say it, you can't cause it to be heard, but that doesn't mean I can't think about it. Right? The Sefer Achinuch that I read to you says the purpose of the prohibition is that you shouldn't even think about it. But it doesn't say that explicitly in the Gemara. And therefore, there are those who didn't want to go to Rav Avadya Yosef, the Tzitz Eliezer, contemporary poskim, who say that we don't have to extend and expand this prohibition of not saying the name of an Avodah Zarah to not thinking about an Avodah Zarah. Because it's not necessarily the logical extension. You could say it, again, you can make the argument that it is. Because if the whole purpose is to create a barrier, an offense around the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, so don't think about it, it should be included in don't talk about it and don't cause somebody to talk about it. And don't think about it, right? That would be included. But you can draw the line. So there are two questions that we do have to figure out, whether we can draw a distinction between saying the name of the actual Avodah Zarah as opposed to, let's say, something connected to the Avodah Zarah, like a saint. And then number two, is there a distinction between saying the actual name of Avodah Zarah as opposed to a place of worship of the Avodah Zarah, right? So those are. I hear the distinction. Orin, you had a question.
Okay, I think we might have discussed this at Rosenstock. I'm sorry if I forgot, but
okay.
You can't extend it to thinking about it, because then we couldn't handle money.
Why?
There's tons of like the imagery out in God we trust, and there's all this like pagan stuff in the eye. I mean, there's definitely stuff in it not like legit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we talked about the coins.
Like,
and
we all use.
Yeah. That was a good question. The what?
Like,
I don't know what that means. Oh.
Yeah, like
well, first of all, in God we trust is a harmless statement because we could be thinking about our God, right? So we trust in our God, and others trust in their God, and you know, in God we trust is a statement that we can say comfortably.
There's definitely like weird imagery on
there. There's weird imagery on some bills. And that's a. I'm not sure what the source of all the bills are. You're right. Now, we did say. We did talk about that Gemara.
Like
that what?
A lot of it's Freemasonry. From the Freemasons.
I don't know. Not familiar. Freemasons? The history of the bills.
Well, but that's a lot of the weird symbolic stuff is. The Freemasons were the, like Dan Brown books write about them, it's a quasi patriot independence age.
National Treasure. Watch.
Nothing? Freemasons?
Must
Watch
you know this?
No, it's a real thing. Look at that.
Well, the Freemasons are a secret society.
Yeah.
Secret society. I don't know that.
And
I'm a secret.
The guy, I'll see you in the park.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the secret society.
That's the next issue.
I have to look into it. Put it on my list of things. But no, the money we did this. We did say that the money, the Gemara asks, the Gemara talks about, if you remember, we talked about the Benan Shel Kedoshim. There was a rabbi who was referred to as the son of holy people because he didn't even look at the pictures that were on the coin. Right? So, which the Gemara, the Tosafot says, you can infer from there that you're allowed to look at the pictures on the coins. It's just that he was extra stringent and he didn't. But why can you look at the pictures on the coins if it was of their gods and the imagery? So, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, we talked about this when we talked about the stamps. Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked if you can collect stamps with the cross on it and with the Pope on it, and you know, or buy stamps. Right? We said it wasn't collecting; it was just to buy them and to use them. Can you own stamps that have symbols of their Avodah Zarah? So Rav Moshe used the same idea by the coins. He said the Tosafot says the reason why everybody can use the coins is because we're so used to seeing them that. They're not actual Avodah Zarah, right? So they're just kind of, you know, they don't have that effect. They don't make anybody think of it, of Avodah Zarah. But I hear you're saying, in theory, why should you be able to do this? But okay, yeah. Fine. So now getting to a little bit of the other issue. So there are two issues when it comes to the month. Let's focus on the month first, because the months have the additional issue, and then when we answer that first issue that we just mentioned about talking about Avodah Zarah, mentioning Avodah Zarah, so we'll answer or try to answer the question of the streets and the cities and the places. So the Ramban, which is the first source on the sheet, at least on one of the sides of the sheet, the one that says Ramban on the top. No, it doesn't. The one that says number one on the top. It's actually from last week's Parsha. The Pasuk says, "Achodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, rishon hu lachem lachodshei hashana." The Pasuk says that this is the first month, referring to the month of Nisan. It is the first month, it should be the first for you for the month of the year. Which, of course, is what does that mean for the month of the year? We generally count our years from Tishrei. Why do we count from Nisan? So, okay, we know there are two different counts for the year. But the Ramban learns from here that there is an obligation to count Nisan as the first month. Meaning, whenever you're referring to the month of the year, our begins from Nisan as number one. And if you look, he says, "Tam hachodesh zelachem rosh chadashim." The reason for this is sheyimnu oso Yisrael chodesh harishon. The Jewish people should count this month as the first month. Umimenu yimnu kol hachadashim sheni v'shlishi. Meaning, the months don't get names according to the Ramban; they get numbers. Nisan is number one, and then Iyar is two, Sivan is three. Ad Tashlum Hashana B'Shneimasar Chodesh, and then Adar is number is 12. K'dei Sheyiyeh Zikaron B'nei Tagodol. The purpose of this is because whenever you would then count the months, you'll say to yourself, why are we counting one from what? One from Nisan. What happened in Nisan? This is the fourth month since Nisan. What happened in Nisan? And we'll remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in a sense, the counting of the months, the Ramban says, is for the purpose of always remembering the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So you could relate that back to, you know, the year, our year, 2014.
That's part of the reason. Oh,
right.
2014, same idea. That's why they say we should count Tavshin Ayin Dalet, because that reminds us of the Bryas Olam, of the creation of the world. So it's all a similar idea. Or maybe, in a sad sense, it's lost on us a little bit because, you know, the words aren't as meaningful anymore. When you see that when they would say something, they would start thinking, what is that referring to? And they start thinking back, oh, it refers to the first of the fourth month since Nisan. Nisan was the giant. The year 57 and 74 from what? And they start thinking about yourself. We say these things and, you know, myself included, when you say the year, you don't think the year since anything. You just say this is the year. So.
You brought this up now.
Now we're thinking about it.
2014.
No, 5774. Anyway. And we know that we always have the mitzvah of Zechiras, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore anytime you mention the number of the month that you're in, you'll be remembering the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, Ein l'chadashim shem b'Torah. There is no name for the months in the Torah. No month in the Torah is given a name. They're all numbered. Right? So, forget, not secular calendar month, not Hebrew month, neither. Nothing. There's no names to the months in the Torah. We only have numbers. Fine. And then he quotes a few examples. And then he compares it to Shabbos. That's the same idea. By Shabbos, we have an obligation to always be thinking about Shabbos, and therefore, if you think about it, the days of the week in the Hebrew calendar don't have names either. And that's still till today. Right? It's all Yom Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, until Shabbos. Right? Because for a purpose, that you should always be thinking about Shabbos. That the days of the week don't get names. They're called the first, the second, all the way till seven, which reminds us of Shabbos. So in a sense, it's always reminding us of Shabbos. Fine. We'll stop there for a moment, because then he gets to explaining, so where do we get our Hebrew months from? Right? If they're not found in the Torah, we have lists of names for the Hebrew months, so where does that come from? So the Ramban says that we should always be counting our months not as names, but rather as numbers. So Rav Avadya Yosef quotes this Ramban, and he says, based on this Ramban, if you have to refer to the secular months, you should do so by name and not by number. Because if we count January as one, then that's against counting Nisan as one. So January is not one. It's not 1/7/14 today, because that would be like saying that it's the seventh of Nisan. So we can't call January 1, Rav Avi Yosef says. So he says if you have to call January, call January. Don't call it number 1.
So you have to write it out.
The problem with that is that if you look at the source for where the names of the months come from, so I have it here. I forgot which website I got this from. Hebrew months. Yeah, so we'll get there in a minute. But the English months,
right?
The problem with the English month names is January is named for the Roman god Janus, who is the protector of gates and doorways. February is from the Latin word februa, which means to cleanse, because it's the Roman februalia was a month of purification and cleansing. March is named for the Roman god of war, Mars. April is about to open and plant. May is named for the Roman goddess Maya, who oversaw Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Who oversaw the growth of plants. June is named for the Roman goddess Juno, who is the patroness of marriage and well-being of women. And then July, August, September, October, November, December have no religious connotations. July and August, July is named after Julius Caesar, and August is for Augustus. September is 7.
Which makes sense.
It made sense until Julius Caesar and Augustus came along and added their months. So before they named their own months and added to the calendar had 10 months. So September was the 7th month, October is the 8th month, November is the 9th month, and December is the 10th month.
How did that work out? Huh. How was it 10 months?
I mean, it wouldn't be a full year.
Because they probably wanted the warm weather.
Years didn't matter.
What?
It didn't matter what season it was. It wasn't that April always had to be in the spring. April could be
right.
Any time.
That's by us. We always need Pesach in the spring. They don't need April in the spring. Although that being the case, April is from... Right. April means from the Latin word aperio, which means to open and to bud, which because of the plant. So I guess there was some connection. But, yeah, I'm not sure how that worked out.
Maybe the month for more days than 30 days.
Right, that's true. If it was all based on the solar calendar...
Wasn't that one of the Caesars who made it 12 months and evened out the month?
Right, because the month being 31 days has no connection to anything other than the fact that it has to fit into a 365
that's
days.
That's true. That's true. If you're working with a solar calendar, so you need 365 days. Doesn't matter how many you break. You can break them up into 36 months. You can break them up into 3 months. That's a good point. So maybe the months were 36 and 37 days instead of 30 and 31 days.
They don't line up at all. They're not at all coordinated.
Right. We go by a lunar calendar, so our months depend on the moon. So that at least is connected to something. So it has to follow the movement of the moon.
If nothing else, 10 would be more consistent with everything else in the world.
Right, 10 would be complete.
It's a complete
right, the
10.
Idea of 10. 10 commandments. So yes, you're right. That would be... and then they have 36 and 37 day months. I guess. Sounds reasonable to me. Anyway, so the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg, who was a contemporary of Rav Avi Yosef, and he passed away in the end of the 20th century. So Rav Waldenberg disagrees with Rav Avi Yosef, and he says, well, if you're going to call them by names, you're going to run into the problem of saying the names of Avodah Zarah, because at least January, March, May, and June are all Avodah Zarah months. So you can't say the names of the months. He says, so better say the numbers. So it's a lose-lose. Right? It's a lose-lose, basically.
Go back. But for the fact that the gods, which the months are named for, are no longer worshipped.
So, hold off on that. Let's first... I heard... Okay, fine. Don't hold off on that. Let's go with that. fine. So we have to figure out how it is... Right? So, right, again... Minhag HaOlam. Let's try to understand. not everybody, but a lot of people say the January. So does it mean that every time we say January, we're violating a prohibition? So it's possible, but it's a little bit. It would be a little surprising if so many people were doing something so terribly wrong, which would be a violation of the pasuk in the Torah of saying Lo Yishama Al Picha. So there is a. Okay, this on the other side of the sheet, I couldn't find the source itself, which is the Tshuvas of the Beis Yitzchak, the Yitzchak Shmelkis. But here in the Darche Tshuva on the top, which is the photocopied thing, and not such great print, I apologize, it's just what I had. He quotes the Beis Yitzchak, and he says that they were asked the question from a city by the arrow there on the left side, by the Dalid. He says they were asked a question from a city, from an Odos HaChevra Bikur Cholim, from a Bikur Cholim group. Asher kinu la shem b'ksavim v'niyaros u'b'chosam ha'ofslan gia. Which, he says that they had some name. What was that name? So I didn't find the actual name, but as he will tell us, I wrote it down somewhere. Does anybody have my handwriting on the side of the sheet? Oh, here it is. I found it. There was a Greek god of health called Hygieia, or almost like hygiene, but Hygieia. So I think that's what he's trying to say here when he says Gia. Hapsalon Gia. V'hushem b'lashon yavan hamora albrius. It's the name of in Greek that's referring to health. V'yatza aleim irur. And there was an argument.
Tell me Gaia. Who's an earth goddess?
No, but this is referring to health.
Biker
Cholim.
Okay.
This is for health. Kizehu shem Eliel leYevanim. This is the name of a god, of an idol for the Greeks, the Cholim Ovdim la. And the sick people would worship this god. The Herich B'Dibri HaShoel, and he explained the words of the question, Im Yesh LaHatir, are you allowed to save this Biker Cholim group? Kevin to shame is that Iker no saying al shame habrius gesundheit. Because the main meaning of this word, or the main purpose of the word, was from the word gesundheit, which means you should be well, right? Be in good health. So, however, ach hayevanim shehaminu be'elokus harbe. So, but the Greeks believed in a lot of gods. And everything had a god, every power, every aspect. So kinui zos lavodazara lemunasam. So they took that word and they applied it to their avodazara. Shilakol koach v'koach yeshem ve'aloka. Nifsad b'kinui hashem hazel lavodazara shalahem. So they took this idea of gezunt, of hygieia, and they said, oh, you know what? It must, let's say that's the god that we worship when one is sick. But they were really just taking the word that meant health and saying that this is now the Greek god.
Wait, so if Hashem knew that when someone was going to get sick, they were going to worship idols, then why would he make them sick?
Ooh. I'm here.
Welcome.
It's a good question. Whose kid is this? No, it's a good question. It's a very good question. It's a bigger topic for when we have more time to talk about this, but it's a good question. And the simple answer is that Hashem, even though He knows what we're going to do, creates opportunities and the choice is in our hands. Right? The same reason why Hashem created a sun and the moon, even though He knew that people would worship the sun and the moon. Or, right? Because ultimately, He didn't force us to worship the sun and the moon, right? People ended up worshiping the sun and the moon because they saw them as celestial beings and they worshiped. They said, oh, look, these things are in the sky, let's worship them. Or He knew that people would sin, but He still created the objects that were created, and then the sin wasn't done by Hashem, it was done by man, right? He didn't decide who was going to sin. That being the case, a lot of people, when they're sick, find that and channel the search for healing, and they channel it towards Hashem. A lot of people find that their greatest prayers and their greatest spiritual connection with Hashem is when they're sick, because it's when they truly feel that they're in the hands of Hashem. So in a sense, you know, being sick can lead you in one of two ways. It's channeling some spiritual energy in some direction. The question is it being channeled towards Hashem, or is it going to be channeled towards an idol, right, as the Greeks did? But that choice was ultimately in the hands of man. And God gave us a lot of opportunities to do mitzvahs, a lot of opportunities to sin, and our purpose is to make those decisions. As the Torah tells us, "Ubacharta b'chayim," that we have to choose life. And in our life is all about making those decisions. God creates, gave us opportunities, and now we have to make the most of them and make those right decisions. But it's true. It's a good question. That's the short answer. Fine. So he says, so are they allowed to use this name now for the Beaker Cholim Society? Let's say it was called Gesundheit, right? Or whatever, Hapsilon Gia.
I think that Upsilon is a Y.
The Y?
Yes.
The letter Upsilon is a Y. So I think it's just Hygieia.
All right.
Yeah, so I think he's just spelling it
Hygieia.
Out.
Oh, he's spelling it out.
Right. Yeah.
Ah,
like
okay.
The letter Upsilon is the letter Y.
Hey. Upsilon,
yeah,
Gia.
Upsilon
ah,
y,
here. Okay,
right. So
perfect.
It's idea.
So it's Hey, Upsilon, Gia.
Hey,
right. So what he's saying is
yeah.
Not Hapsilon, Gia. He's saying Hey, then Upsilon, then Gia.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Perfect. Hey, Gia. Perfect. So even better. Now it makes sense. I was just kind of reading it all into there. Thank you. So he wants to know the fact that they kind of, let's say, hijacked the word and turned it into a god. So does that make it forbidden now to use the name? So he says, "V'dasa shol d'im kain hu ein adavar barur le'iser." He says he's not sure that it should be prohibited. Ach im mitchila hayashem zel le'aloka v'avodazar shalahem. But if originally it started out as the Avodah Zarah, the name for the Avodah Zarah, and then Acher Kach, Hinichu Menichu Haloshon Shalahem Bekaru Gam Shem Gezuntayt Al Shem Zeh, and then they used that, since they had an Avodah Zarah who was Higia, they took the root of the word Higia and made the word Gezuntayt, although one's from Greek and one's German, but okay, however exactly that all came about, but and made the word Gezuntayt, he says, then Asa Dover Baru Le'Isser, that would be prohibited. So if the name started out as something that is prohibited, started out as Avodah Zarah, and then it was applied to something else, that would be a problem. He says, however, the Ein Chil, the Keva da Yavanim Karu Shem Zeh Le'eloka Shalhan Ein Lachenu Bnei Yisrael Lahazkir Shem Zeh Al Piv. He says, but and as opposed to if it started out as a word, and then they hijacked it and used it, he says, no, we're not so sure. He says, but regardless, once it has become an Avodah Zarah, we shouldn't use the word. Right? That's what he says. Now, that's what, again, this is what the questioner, the one who was asking the question of the Beis Yitzchak said. Then he says, what a lot of what we've been saying, Mikol Mokn, no. Av sha'ata nizbatla ha'emuna ha'kozeves halazu. Even though this belief in this Greek god of health, Higia, is no longer around. It's been nullified. There's nobody who worships it. He says, "Rak hamalitza mishtamshim b'shemos alolu liyofi halashon hamalitza." But people just use it to for the because it sounds nice and for the words. Mikol makom mi yodea im lo nimtzu ba'olam eze umos hamaminim gam hayom binyanim ka'elu. He says, "But hold on, we can't be so sure that there's nobody in the world who's still worshiping these gods, even though it doesn't look like there are. It's not the most prevalent religion as it was then, but there could be somebody somewhere who's still worshipping these Greek gods." And therefore he says, "Al korchach aser libnei ha'ir liyos lahem shem zeh al ha'chabura shalahem." Therefore he says that the Jewish Beaker Cholim Society shouldn't use this name of the Greek god of health. Yes.
So even this I can kind of understand, right? Because the word hygiene means health or, you know, healthiness or whatever. And so it's directly related to the function of what that god represented.
Right.
But going back to the beginning with street names and place names, I mean, there's no relation. It's
no
just
relation.
It has to be a marker or a landmark, right?
Well, what do you mean? No,
you
no relation to what and
in
what?
Other words, when you think
anything
hygiene,
would be worse.
When you think of hygiene, you think of health.
Right.
So when you think of health, you might think of like oh well, health is something that's beyond man, right? It's something that's controlled by super beings, and you think of the God or whatever it is. But when you think of St. Louis, you're just thinking of the place, the location. You're not thinking of gods or, you know, anything, you know, above being.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the problem?
Well, so if it's the name of an Avodah Zarah, it's a problem just to say it. Even if you don't
but
think about it.
It's a problem to say it because you might...
Even if you don't think about it, it would still be a problem to say. I mean, that's part of the question, right? What if you don't think... it's become such a word, right? There are people whose names, whose name is Lewis or Paul, right? So would you say you're not allowed to say their name? So it's hard to say that the name of the... Oh. So it's hard to say, sorry. Or Nicholas. How's that? Better? No one here named Nicholas, right? But so that's part of the issue, is that on the one hand, you know, once it's a regular name of a person, so you can't say that they made it usher to say that name, right? It's the name of a person, so you can't say the name of a person. It's just a person's name. Who he also happened to use that person's name, right? They also use that name, but that doesn't make it into an avodah zarah and therefore make it usher. So that's part of the question. Right, as opposed to, let's say, Mumbai, right, which is nobody's name. I don't think, is that a common name in India? I can't imagine.
Never heard the name. But I have two people on my team named Jesus, right?
So there you go, exactly. So can you not say their name? Or you say, no, it's a name, right? It's a name, it happens to be his name too. But
Jesse. Oh, my.
So yeah, there are some who say that you can't turn a name of a person into an idol to make it usher, because it's a name, it's a common name that's used, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. So then at the end of this, he says that the word Mammon also was a god, apparently. What was it, a god of money?
I think it was a Zoroastrian god.
Wasn't it like a devil or something? It was a bad one.
This was right.
I thought it was the money guy.
It was a bad guy.
Oh, the money guy.
Yeah,
I thought it was associated with money. But he then says, the Heshiv Shiesh Lachalik, it's like five lines up from the Hey, is the Shem Mammon Kvar Nishtakea Mishem Ha'elil. The name Mammon is already lost from its connection to an idol. Shahaya lifnei shanim harbe v'karu shem ze rak lamaos v'nasa shem lisamein bo harechush. But and now it's just referring to money. Right? Now it means money, but it was used and it was lost so long ago. Mashein came b'shem hanal delo nikra b'loshon hamehaleches, as opposed to the name that we were talking about of Hagia. So that was never used. It was never taken away, in a sense, from the god, the Greek god, to be used for just general health. And therefore, he says there you can make a distinction between the name Hagia and the name Mammon, because Mammon has lost its complete affiliation with the god of whatever it was the god of, let's say of money, and now has a completely different meaning and connotation in the way that it's used, as opposed to this name, which it was never completely removed, nor is it completely used in a way that's completely separate from being used as a god. So, in a sense, that's one of the explanations of the Beis Yitzchak, is that if the name is disassociated with the deity, right, if it's so lost, like the word Mammon is so removed from the god, that maybe you can say that the name is now no longer a problem. Yeah.
Sorry, there's something I don't understand. Is it that the god is no longer used, or that the name is removed?
It sounds like the name is no longer used to in connection with that god. Again, this is a secondhand source. I didn't. I in the few places that I tried to find the Sefer, I couldn't find it today, the Beis Yitzchak, so I didn't see it exactly inside. So to answer the nuance, I have to look inside the actual text. This is him quoting the text, so I would want to look inside the text. But the way that it's quoted here, it sounds like he's saying that the name Mammon is already lost Mishem Ha'alil, from the name of that idol. So I don't know if that means that the idol now has a different name, or does that mean that the idol, because
they're like Corpus Christi, Texas, like no one there thinks of, like, you know,
Christ's corpse.
Yeah, no one thinks of that. They live there, but like, so it's like removed. But I mean, you know, there still is, there's still people who worship that view.
Say it again.
I think we say it again. So people still worship that God.
Which God?
JC.
Oh, yeah.
Christy, Texas, or like Christchurch in Australia, like their places. But like, so the name of the place is far removed from the deity. Because I mean, if you live in Christchurch, you're not constantly thinking of like.
There's a town called.
Corpus, city called Corpus Christi. Yeah. It means body of.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's where Brian Leach is from.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
But the people there aren't.
What? I didn't see that either. No.
The people there aren't constantly.
Have you checked
of
the
like,
contemporary?
You know, the body of JC.
Right.
Like,
well, St. Louis
is still
right.
A god who's very much being worshipped. So that's where the subtlety is. Like,
I hear.
That's just
like, right. No, I hear. You're saying the town is referring to.
The St. Louis thing is less extreme because no, I don't think people are
Well, it's the saints also. Again, I can hear the distinction. I'm not saying it necessarily is. I haven't seen it anywhere, but you can hear the distinction between the two.
Yeah.
Also, we just looked it up, and Mammon is it's a demon, and it is money. Like
money.
Greed.
The Greek demon of money.
Greed.
Not the Greek
god.
Greed.
Yeah, greed.
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 That's in, like, the New Testament, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. So there you have it.
Can you also say further that if an actual idol itself, another Avodah Zarah person can be mevatel that Avodah Zarah if he no longer worships it,
right,
and therefore it's okay, how much more so than a town's name that nowadays is so detached from it that if you survey the people, 99% wouldn't have an attachment? Can't you say the same idea of a bittul nullification, therefore it still applies, and therefore that name is therefore okay, or...
Mm-hmm.
Because the connection is no longer in any way, you know, transparent.
Mm-hmm. So there is an opinion of the Uranium, which was a pretty early source, where he says that if the deity is nullified, you can say its name. Right? So, in a sense, he gets it from the... His explanation is that that's why you can say the names of the Avodah Zarahs in the Torah. Right? We said that Tosa says that you can say all the names of Avodah Zarahs, let's say Pa'or, Marculus, these names of Avodah Zarah that are actually mentioned in the Torah, you can say them. So obviously you can say them because they're in the Torah. How could you write that? Was Zach's assumption that if I'm saying the names, it must be it's okay. So we can make it. We can definitely make that assumption about the Torah. If it's in the Torah, it's definitely okay. So why? The Uraim says because all of the Avodah Zarah that were mentioned in the Torah are already nullified. And since they're nullified already, they no longer have any status, in the sense, of Avodah Zarah. Since nobody worships Pa'or, or Marculus anymore, therefore the whole is almost like insignificant, loses its status of being an Avodah Zarah.
What's the difference between that and, after how long we talked about this, but like certain ways of worshipping are always going to be an act of...
So, but that's about certain ways of worshiping. But that's worshiping, you know, it's like objective acts of worship that are true by all religions.
You know, if some don't apply. Like,
no, but those are true. You know, bowing and.
Yeah, but weren't there some weird ones?
No, there were weird ones that they did to those specific gods, like Pa'or, where they would defecate to the god. So, yeah, that was strange, but that was specific to Pa'or.
Okay.
Right? They're throwing stones at Marculus. So if you throw a stone at a god, at an idol, that's okay, because that's disrespectful, unless you do it to the Marculus. But the Marculus isn't around anymore. So as opposed to the objective ways of worship, like bowing and offering sacrifices and the like. So that idea is mentioned in this topic, that maybe you can say that, that if the deity is nullified, you want to take it one step further and say that maybe in a sense the name is nullified. It's not that the deity is nullified, but if the name in a sense has no, in people's mind, or in most people's mind, has almost no affiliation with what it actually means, right, then maybe you can say that's like nullifying the name.
I might take a kapha home. Right? You can nullify the Avodah Zarah itself.
Yeah, but that's if you nullify the Avodah Zarah itself, then any city that's named for that Avodah Zarah would be okay.
How much weight?
But you're not. But if you don't nullify the Avodah Zarah itself, then you want to say that even when the Avodah Zarah is still a true Avodah Zarah, again, true meaning still worship, still exists, the name should be nullified.
Well, I would make the argument that these months of the year are not being in worship anymore.
Unless
you Wikipedia it, who even knows
exactly.
What name
so that right. could be, right, as opposed to the town and wherever.
As opposed to, correct.
Right, so that might be different because that's actually still worship. Right. Again, there are those who aren't even comfortable going with the idea that you can say that, that nobody worships these because who knows what they're doing in all these four corners of the world. You know, we
but
can't
isn't that
serve it.
Irrelevant, though? If one person still worships it, that's irrelevant.
Is it irrelevant if one person still worships it?
So we find one crazy guy that does whatever. That's in the scheme of things, that's not relevant, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It depends on what. Here, that you know. See, here the problem is that they were named originally for Avodah Zarah. Right? In January, it was named January for a Greek god.
Okay.
So whenever you say the name January, though, so that you're saying that once the Greek god is nullified,
yes,
then the name should be, you should be allowed to say the name. Right, so that's what the Urim says.
As opposed to like the names, people already had the name, and you know.
The as opposed to the name of that town, where is it? Texas.
Yeah.
Brian Leach.
Yeah.
In Texas. Yeah. So as opposed to that, where it's actually still an Avodah Zarah that's worshipped, right? Or again, I think Mumbai. I think it's still worshipped Avodah Zarah. I know you don't know everything about India. You've just been there. You're the only one here who's been there, so you're as close as right. You're the only one who's been there, so any question I have about India, I'm coming to you. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
The other thing is this way. With a town in Texas, you have to also understand it's not necessarily referring to the name of the god that the Christians would worship at the time, because if you take a look at the etymology of that particular word, it means Mashiach. It doesn't necessarily mean associated with JC is the point. It's not named for J. Anything like that. It really means, in English, the body of Mashiach.
The body of Mashiach.
Right. The
body of the Messiah.
Of the Messiah, exactly. That's what it means.
It was named after him.
It was named after him.
You're saying,
but
you could darshan it in a different way.
Right.
Darshan is referring to Mashiach.
Right, but they're not worshipping him necessarily in that name.
In the name.
Right, in that name itself. That's the other thing. No one goes in unless, you know, I know the Latin and whatever and stuff like that, but no one's going to go in and
think
call
of the name.
JC by that particular one name.
Right.
It's just not done.
Mm-hmm.
It was done from the Latin at the time, and then again, that's symbolic. Is what it means. So that's the Greek word meaning Mashiach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people definitely do call it.
Well, yeah. No, what do they name it for?
Worship the god per se using that name in and of itself.
What do they name it for?
Worshipping for you.
No,
definitely
it
do.
But it means in and of itself something else. In other words, it's a descriptive. It's not the name of a god.
So
it's something which is a descriptive.
Well,
you're
saying
would anybody else use that word for any other
meaning?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that I get, but what you're
right.
also saying is that they don't use the word to worship, which I don't think is necessarily true.
No, I don't think they necessarily use it. They use it, the word as an adjective. They don't use it as a noun in and of itself.
Christmas.
That in itself, that would be the feast of the Messiah.
Yeah, but that word Messiah, they don't use the word Messiah. They use an alternative.
As a matter of fact, when they worship
the
church, they refer to it as that, not as,
with the name.
No.
No,
the body of...
In the context, though, of mentioning as the name. It's something else.
I don't think so.
No, the, you have to have someone.
Do you know what they originally? I mean, do they have him in mind when they named the town?
No, presumably yes. I mean, that would be the case. There's only one of those that they go along with. Yeah, the reference, there's no question about it.
Reference is for sure.
Yeah.
But
the question is, I don't know if they still didn't use the name.
I don't know. I never even heard of
the other thing is, from the grammatical standpoint also, is that he wouldn't be using their word, because in that particular town's name, you need both the words.
Right.
So even if they didn't use the name in itself, the grammar for the name wouldn't be necessarily the same. It might be a minor point, but yeah, someone who knows the declinations of Latin.
Okay. We were coming to you for that.
Yeah.
Go to the Annie for India. We were going to you for the
Professor Lewis Feldman. If you're at NYU, if he's still there.
Uh-huh.
Go, if Professor Feldman is still there, look him up. We'll come up Lewis. He would be the person who would certainly know this,
uh-huh.
because he's the only person I know who could know both Latin and Greek. All these things simultaneously,
uh-huh.
like that. But if he's still up there, if you're at NYU, look him up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's looking for history, though. Never took for never took for Latin.
Okay. So just to mention one other, there are those who say that the only problem of using the name is when it's a name that ascribes power of godliness to the god.
Okay.
So if it's you know, like the healing power, so ascribing that, that's, in a sense, giving it a godly power. But other names that are just names, then that wouldn't be ascribing any deifying power to the name, and that may be, again, there are those opinions who say that would be okay. So we're, I guess, January, the protector of gates and doorways, but January is not saying the god January, it's just saying January, just saying the name. So that would be different than saying, you know, JC, let's say, where you're ascribing some type of, let's assume it's deifying. You know, that would be a distinction. So, there are a few different, those are the three main ones. You know, there are other ones that people do mention to explain why people do use the names. At least the months of the year, I think it's reasonable to assume that they are nullified, most of the Greek gods. You're not going to find too many people worshipping Greek gods nowadays, if any. And it's, you know, there are those who would then say that, you know, that like we said, there's no problem of using the name of a god that was already nullified, because it loses its status of a name, or it loses its status as a god, and therefore the name is no longer within this pasuk. And that would be why people do mention the names of the months. Someone mentioned to me an interesting eitzah to get out of the whole problem of, do you say the numbers, like what do you write on a check? Numbers, the letters, the numbers are a problem, the letters are a problem. So it could be the numbers aren't a problem because the pasuk says that, or the Ramban says you have to, Nisan has to be first, doesn't mean it has to be first for everything. It means that in general it has to be in a place of chashivas, it has to be important, and in our eyes Nisan is important, but that doesn't mean that we can't have other counts. And the proof for that is that even we have other counts. Tishrei is also referred to as the first month of the year for the purposes of the year, the calendar year that we count. So you see that Nisan isn't always number one. But somebody mentioned to me today, Rav mentioned to me today, what he does is he just writes the first three letters of the month. Because this way he's not numbering them. And he's also not writing the whole month, or not saying
May?
The whole month.
Yeah, the same thing.
Right, May. That's
you
true.
Use the Hebrew day.
Yeah.
No, Maya. Maya is
but it's an abbreviation, the way we pronounce it.
What was it?
Well, no, you're saying Maya.
Oh, well, yeah, M-A-I-A.
A-A, right, exactly. We've shortened it up.
We've shortened it.
Yeah.
So we're like,
yeah.
I hear. And it's still based in the name.
Or you could say you're just writing the word Maya.
Or pay your bills online.
Like maybe.
Right. I'll just mention, you mentioned the names. So the Shulchan Aruch himself says that holidays that are like the names of people, there's no problem to mention them. As long as you don't give that, you don't mention them as chashivas. Meaning any name, if they had a holiday that they named the holiday after a person, so there's no problem to say the holiday unless it's like, you know, giving them chashivas, you know, it's whatever. Sam whatever, saint whatever. That's one thing. But just the name itself, then he says you can't answer a name. That's a, that the Shulchan Aruch himself says. We didn't get to the Hebrew month. I'll just mention it quickly because I don't want to do it again next week. the Hebrew names come from Persia. They came with us from when we returned from the first the Gullus of after Bais Rishon. They returned with the Jewish people. The Yerushalmi says from Bavel, and they're Persian names. The Ramban himself says that the reason why we can use the names or do use the names is because in a sense it's to remember the miracles of the return, the Geula from that first Gullus. That until that point we always remembered from Nisan, so we're always thinking about the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then after the miracles of returning from Bavel, from Persia, Bavel, so then we remember the miracles of that second, of the redemption. And as a remembrance for that, we use the names that they had, that they used. And we see that they were used in Persian times because we see them in Megillas Esther. It already mentions some of the month's names. So as a reminder for that, so we use both the count and the names of the month. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a little bit of a different twist on it. And he says that the reason why we use the names of Persia is not to remember the miracles, but the opposite. It's because when the Jewish people came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew that it wasn't a complete redemption. And they knew that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't going to be a complete Beis HaMikdash. It was missing five things. They knew that it wasn't a complete redemption. So to remember that we haven't yet been completely redeemed, even though they were back in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, they used the names with the same language that they had in Gullus to remember that they were still, in a sense, in Gullus.
It's a little bit off topic, but when we bench Rosh Chodesh,
very good. Very good.
The numbers.
Good. So that's what. Who asked that question? The Binyan Shlomo, I think. The Binyan Shlomo. Very good. He asked that question. He says, if the Ramban says that we have to count the months, we don't mention that. We mention the names of the months. So it should be prohibitive for us to mention the names of the month. And even if you want to say it's not prohibitive, but shouldn't we also mention, you know, Nisan number one, Nisan number two? Yeah. So that's the question that you have to say, that either not everybody agrees with the Ramban that there's an obligation to count the months as from Nisan as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the Chulei, or you have to say that in some way it's now more, as the Ramban seems to imply, there's more of a reason to refer back to the miracles of the redemption of the from Bavel, from Persia, to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, because in a sense it replaced the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was from Shibud to Geula, so from going from slavery of Egypt to the Geula, the redemption of Mitzrayim, so that we remembered until the first exile from Israel, and then when we came back from the first exile from Israel, then we remembered that the miracles of the return from that exile. If that's the case, so I just wonder, does that mean that when we return to Mirshem for the final time, the third time, so are we going to use the secular month? Because that we should remember where we came from, because most of the world uses the secular month. So do we start using those because it'll remember the miracles of the Mirshem, the third Geula? Probably not, but
that's
just a
thought. According to the lunar calendar, though.
Oh, that's true. All right, so we'll have to rename the month and apply them to the
Hebrew right. Month have any meaning or words?
So there are those who say yes. In the Hasidic writings and the Kabbalistic writings, you know, there are those who say that the Hebrew months were actually given at Har Sinai, that they weren't revealed until the Geula from Bavel. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
They were revealed to the Persians.
Right. It was like Torah Shabbat Peh.
Sorry, I didn't mean that to sound facetious.
No, it was like Torah Shabbat Peh.
I'm
not sure what that means exactly. Some people knew it, but they didn't use it, and that really they have
but
very deep meanings.
Anything,
right, and they had really have very deep meanings. And if you look, you know, there are drushes about the names of the months. But so yeah, there are some who say that they are meaningful, and others say that no, they're the months from that they were using in Persia. That's what they used in the Gilgal Esther in times of. They used Adar, they used Nisan, so it's hard to know exactly. In Megillas Esther, it's interesting, it uses both. Right? It says in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So you see that, you know, kind of connecting of the two, which was the transition time, in a sense, from going from numbering the month to naming the month. And the days of the week have a similar issue, you know, days of the week also. Although the days of the week are really not from God. You know, it means sun, moon, things like that, but they're not really gods. You know, they were more from Latin words, which were the source of the days of the week. But the reason why the days of the week are an issue is because they're supposed to be counting again. No?
Wasn't Wednesday from Odin?
Wednesday. Wednesday is Mercury. Thursday is Jupiter.
That's right now, but like what I
know. Oh, Saxon. Yeah.
Yeah,
the Norse god should be.
Yeah, the Saxon is sun, moon, Tua, Norse, Tyr, Woden, Thor, Frigg, Saturn. Yeah, so it's the same idea. Yeah, so there is still a connection, according to some, with the days of the week. So again, you have to say the same answers. And why don't you have to mention it 1, 2, 3, 4? Because think about Shabbos. Probably because the Samar Rav said, because you mention it once in the morning. When you say Shir Shal Yom, you mention Hayom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Yom Sheni LeShabbos. So that's already your Yotze, the mitzvah of Zachar Yom Shabbos LeKadosh. There's just remember Shabbos all week long. So when we say the Shir Shal Yom, in a sense, we're remembering Shabbos. And it doesn't mean that all day long we have to remember it. It means you have to remember at some point of the day. And I'm sorry to run through those last few things. Just wanted to throw them out there. We can continue, but if anybody wants to.